Good morning. I hope you're having a blessed Lord's Day. And I'm blessed to spend this Lord's Day morning with you, or whatever time of day you may be watching this. Let's begin by going to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Our great God and Father in heaven, we thank you for all the blessings of this life. We thank you, first of all, for creation itself in this great and beautiful world and this earth that you've given us to live in and to enjoy. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son. Thank you for his precious blood that was shed on our behalf, for his great sacrifice, Father, and the great hope that we find in his sacrifice of spending eternity with you, the peace that surpasses all understanding, Father, the joy of having our sins forgiven, and so many more blessings in Christ, the fellowship with other believers. We thank you for all these blessings, Father. We pray that as we study another portion of your word and focus in on your power and raising Christ from the dead, that we might come to a greater appreciation for your power that raised not only Christ from the dead, but that same power that now works within us in the body of Christ as individuals and collectively as your body. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're continuing on with our series of expository lessons from the book of Ephesians. Just a reminder, expository sermons, we kind of follow along in the text and take the topics as they come up in the text. And we may not cover we will not cover every topic as we go along through the text in Ephesians. Otherwise, we might, this could take a year or two. But we'll pull out some of the main points and the main powerful topics from the text, and we'll focus in on one or two of those in each one of these sermons. So back to the text, Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll start there with verse 18, but then we're going to focus in on verse 19 and following. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And we looked at those two topics last week, the hope that we have as Christians that Paul mentions here, and the fact that we, the church, and individual Christians are God's inheritance. His inheritance is in us, and his value is in us, and he looks forward to us coming home to spend eternity with him. And then in verse 19, Paul also mentions now, and his incomparably great power on us who believe. He goes on to say that power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him, referring to Jesus again, to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body. His body, Jesus's body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So Paul mentions, first of all, this morning, his, that's God's, incomparably great power on us who believe. Let's consider, first of all, that incomparably great power. Going back to the original language, the Greek, the word incomparably is hyperbolon, and it means going far beyond, exceeding what is expected. The word great comes from the Greek word, it's interesting, megathos. Has a stem that's recognizable in English, as we know the word, most of us are familiar with mega. A mega church is a large church. So it has a stem recognizable in English as truly large and great. And then the word power is very interesting. Going back to the original language, dynamis means great force and might, often used to describe the power of Jesus' miracles. Now think about that. The power of Jesus' miracles, because it's hard to describe with words, and Paul's trying to do so, It's hard to describe the power of God and grasp and put our arms around the mighty power of God. But when we think about the miracles of Christ, to give someone who has been blind since birth their sight instantly at his word, at his command, that's the power of God exhibited and manifested through Christ himself. To cause someone who's been lame since birth to be healed and jump and run around for joy out of thanksgiving, that's the power of God exhibited and manifested in Christ. To give the deaf their hearing instantly. And then, of course, a manifestation of God's power as he would raise the dead through Christ and during his earthly ministry. For one example, raising Lazarus from the dead shows the power that God has, and he exhibited through Christ over life and death itself. That power, the dynamis, the same word was well suited to name the explosive invention dynamite. It goes back to this original Greek word, dynamis. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, Paul says. The word working in the Greek, energia, working on the inside, literally. This word is always used in Scripture referring to the supernatural power rather than any type of human power. That mighty strength, kratos, a term for authoritative power that overcomes whatever stands in its way. And in this case, overcame death, because nothing can stand in God's way. And then the strength of God is mentioned. Ischys, I-S-C-H-Y-S. God's personal exercise of strength and power, which no one or no thing could ever hold back. So, the incomparably great power, he says, God's power, unstoppable power for us or on us, are also translated toward us who believe. What a great blessing from God. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ. Now, specifically, he mentions in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. So now Paul specifically gives the example of God's power exhibited in raising Christ from the dead. Now, let's think about this together for just a moment. The power of man. Unfortunately, the atom bomb comes to mind, which brought to an end in Hiroshima, bringing to an end World War II. The power of mankind and using our mind that God has given us to come up with ways to medically prolong our lives and our stay here on earth. That is some power. And we have to recognize and be humble that we're using our mind and ingenuity that God has given us to come up with medical ways and medicines and treatments that can prolong our life here on earth. Thank God we can spend more time with grandparents and grandkids and family and more time enjoying this world and this earth that God has created. Man, that is a great power exhibited by mankind. And then how about the power to send a man to the moon? Man, that is some power to get the rocket through our atmosphere and off and then to land on the moon. But again, let's be humble. It's only using the mind and the ingenuity that God has given us and granted us. That is powerful. But man has never been able to exhibit the power that it takes to raise a dead corpse, a dead body from the dead. And that's the power that God exhibited as he raised Christ from the dead after 3 days in the tomb. And it's the power that God exhibited and manifested in Christ as he raised Lazarus from the dead. The difference is Lazarus would die twice. He was dead and buried the first time when Christ, by his power, exhibited God's power and raised him from the dead. Lazarus lived on longer than he would have lying in that tomb. But then Lazarus would have to die again. But when the power of God was exhibited in raising Christ from the dead, that was once for all. The power of God exhibited, and now Christ, as we just read, is seated at the right hand of God in heaven. That's amazing in itself. What's even more amazing is that same power is manifested by God in raising us up with Christ. When we repent of our sins, put our faith in what Christ accomplished on the cross, and put our faith in the power of God that raised Christ from the dead, and then we name Him as our Lord and we're buried with Him in the watery grave of baptism, the Bible then makes it clear that we're raised with Him. Our same old body is raised out of that watery grave of baptism, but now we're raised with Him with a new spirit, and we're referred to as a new creation in Christ. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3 in verses 20 and 21. And there we read, "Now to Him, God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us." Now I confess that too many times in my life and during my Christian walk, I'm trying to rely on my own power rather than rely on God's power. God's power is immeasurable. So according to His power that is at work within us as Christians, to Him, to God, be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Many generations have passed since the resurrection of Christ. Many generations of the church have passed. And now we are where we are now, 2,000 years later. Throughout all generations, forever and ever, amen. God's power will be at work in each one of us only when we allow His power to work within us. He's not going to work. God is not going to work against us. But when we allow His power to work within us, the power of His word to transform our hearts and our minds, we can experience that immeasurable power of God, the dynamis of God in our own lives. David writes in Psalm 110 and verse 1, "The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." The events of the resurrection of Christ and the exaltation of Christ and the seating of Christ at the right hand of God are really the grounds for the Christian's hope and the grounds and the foundation for all Christian preaching and teaching. I want to conclude the lesson today again with a song. I'm kind of enjoying finding related hymns to our lessons. Today's hymn is "Christ the Lord is Risen Today." Again, I won't subject you to my singing, but listen closely to the words. "Christ the Lord is risen today. Hallelujah. Sons of men and angels say hallelujah. Raise your joys and triumphs high. Hallelujah. Vain the stone, the watch, the seal. Hallelujah. Christ hath burst the gates of hell. Hallelujah. Death in vain forbids his rise. Hallelujah. Christ hath opened paradise. Hallelujah. Lives again, lives again our glorious King. Hallelujah. Where, O death, is now thy sting? Hallelujah. Once he died our souls to save. Hallelujah. Where's thy victory, boasting grave? Hallelujah." Let's turn our minds now to preparing for the Lord's Supper. Luke chapter 22, and starting in verse 7. "Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover.' 'Where do you want us to prepare for it?' they asked. He replied, 'As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, "The teacher asks, Where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them, so they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks for it. And he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you. With these thoughts in mind, let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer before partaking of the Lord's Supper. Our great God in heaven, we thank you again for the great sacrifice of Christ, and we thank you for your immeasurably great power that raised him from the dead after 3 days in the tomb. We pray now as we partake of the unleavened bread, we can remember and appreciate his great sacrifice on our behalf. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll have a prayer now before partaking of the fruit of the vine that represents that precious blood shed on our behalf. Great God and Father in heaven, we thank you for that precious blood of Christ. Father, we express our appreciation as we remember his great sacrifice and that blood that was shed as we partake of this fruit of the vine that represents his blood. We pray that we can partake in a way that's pleasing and acceptable in your sight. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I pray you have a blessed Lord's Day and a blessed rest of the week and a blessed life, for that matter, for the short time that we're here. And I pray that the power of God through his word might continue to work in my heart and mind and my spirit as well as yours for our short time here on this earth. Have a blessed week. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer to give us the strength we need in this coming week. Our Father, our God in heaven, we thank you again for the blessing of your Son. We thank you for the blessing of your great and powerful Word that works so powerfully in our hearts, in our minds, and in our spirit to transform us into the very likeness of your Son. Be with us in this coming week, Father. Help us to meet the challenges and the obstacles that are before us, Father, with an attitude and with an outlook that brings honor and glory to you and is a blessing to others. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.